Welcome. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio here in Easton, Pennsylvania. This is Gear Grinders. We are here from 7-8 p.m. at night on Sundays. And I am Joseph Sensi, and I am here with...
Juliana Paleo.
And if you want to visit our website, contact us at wjrh.org. Or if you wish to call in on the phone, there is the phone line of 610-330-5316. To start off the day here, we are actually going to...
play a little requested jingle for you.
Yes, we actually had a requested jingle last time that we actually cannot fit in. It may not be the spirit of Halloween, but gosh darn it, we don't mind. It may not be the spirit of Christmas, as we discussed last time. It may be, or may not.
If you tuned in last week, you know that we appreciate any holiday music at any time. And with that, we have a song.
So please,
enjoy.
Listen to The Original Monster Mash by Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers. Here we are.
For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Dracula and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rack's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drac's a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Mash good!
Easy, Igor, you impetuous young boy.
Mash good!
Monster mash good!
And we apologize to our listeners because we have to say that song grinds both of our gears. But we respect our listeners and we always appreciate you. So that one's for you.
I think the song's more about the meme, though.
The what?
The meme.
More of a meme than an actual good tune.
No one actually jams out to Monster Mash without a smile on their face. Like, it's like recognizing the comedy behind
it. Sure, but I have to say that's the first time I've ever heard it all the way through.
Yes, actually. Straight up, that's the first time I heard all the way through, too. Actually, We had it played once at our fifth grade Halloween dance. We had a fifth grade Halloween dance. It wasn't like an actual dance where like you get a girl and the guy gets a guy. What not. Anyway, so what happens is it's just like everyone goes in their costume and hangs out for like 3 hours, and I just raid the candy bar for 2 hours and just go in on the Starburst.
Quick question: what did you dress as?
I was actually a blow pop. Yeah, I was actually a blow pop rapper, and my friend Ryan actually showed up, and he had mono, but he didn't actually come to the party. However, the fire alarm went off during the party. We don't know why. I think someone pulled it. But regardless, my friend Ryan actually came to the party, like for a little bit. But he met us all outside because he had mono and he wasn't allowed in. So he was waiting outside for like half the party.
Aww.
And we came outside in a fire alarm. So I think he's pretty happy about the fire alarm being pulled because then we got to see him. He was dressed up as a shark.
Oh, okay.
Before Left Shark was cool. Mm. That was fifth grade. Regardless, we want to talk about some actual topics that grind our gears.
Yes, let's get into it.
So I think you would like to start off this one.
Yes. Perhaps. Something that often grinds my gears is when people point out how much food you are eating or you've had to eat.
Fair enough.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're at a buffet, maybe you're at Thanksgiving with family, and you go when you're having another plate, you're loading it up, and someone comes over, and it's always some mom or aunt, and they're like, having another plate? Oh, you a little hungry? It's like, excuse me, Janet. I'm aware of how much I'm eating. Please, back away.
Right.
It's very rude.
And it's like, I don't think people understand. Even if it isn't all you can eat, nutrients are key to life.
Right.
And I'm a growing boy, and you are, and maybe you're not anymore, but maybe you were at some point, a growing girl, and people need to eat. So what's the problem with that?
Sorry. It's just like, what's it to you, you know? I like to fill my my belly. That's all. It grinds my gears a lot.
Do you think there's a reason why they say that? Do you think they expect to be like, ha ha ha, good joke? Or is it just like a sly comment? I think it depends on the person. Some people do it just because they're, like, really cheeky. But
it's always cheeky. It's not like, what? It's not like you're eating a third plate. You're eating a lot of food. It's always like, oh, is that your third plate?
Think,
you know that it is because you've been watching. Why are you watching me eat?
Yeah. Why are you watching me eat?
What's that about?
And also, why are they passing by you because they've finished eating? Or are they passing by you because they just got another plate of their own?
Right. How much are you having to eat, Sharon?
Maybe it's a little bit of friendly competition. Maybe they're trying to size you up.
Maybe you're right.
Hmm. Well, I've had that. I never had that said to me because usually by the time I'm on my fifth plate, everyone's already left, and I'm the only one at the table, so there's no one even make that comment anyway.
Right.
So, usually at Thanksgiving, I go all in. I skip breakfast, because I have there's like a 5K in my town. It's called the Dick Megan Run, and I run it with some of my friends. And so, by the time I actually eat, it's usually 11 o'clock when the crackers and stuff come out, crackers and cheese, and like, usually we have like some of the shrimp. Like, your basic hors d'oeuvres, just, like, hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Basic snacks to start everyone off with. Your usual party favors. And that's the first time I eat anything. But I usually hold off until the turkey hits the table.
Mm.
And then I go in. But anyway. I don't see anything wrong with the
fifth
plate.
Dark meat or light meat?
I go both. Because...
Weird.
The turkey, I don't discriminate any part of the turkey. Good meat is good meat.
I think, though,
I like to eat.
The dark meat is always, like, the lighter meat is always way more dry.
Really?
Dark meat is always a safer...
See, I always drown it in gravy, because my mom gets good gravy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Good gravy.
Good gravy. Goodness me, good gravy. But no, I usually put a lot of gravy. I don't know about you, but I like to mix my gravy with the mashed potatoes and put some corn in the mashed potatoes.
I don't like to tamper with the mashed potatoes.
But you get sweet potato mash.
Yes, I get
That's
both.
Different than regular mash. I think sweet potato mash sits on its own.
Absolutely.
Regular mash
even regular,
can mix and
I
match.
Don't like to... tamper with it. Also, I'm not a huge gravy fan, so.
I'm a big sauce guy, so.
Me too, but gravy, what even... Do we know what is in gravy? What is it?
Well, considering that some people call spaghetti sauce gravy, right?
Yeah.
I would guess that gravy is a sauce.
No, that's not the question.
I have no clue what your question is, then.
What is gravy made of?
It's like stock, isn't it?
I think
it's like whatever the stock is. So, like, turkey gravy would have, like, turkey stock. And then some spices mixed in with it. And then there's something else that makes it gives it the color. I think it's the spices, but then the actual liquid itself is like a stock, because it has flavor to it. Like, you wouldn't just put water.
Recipe. Let's see.
It's like a turkey gravy. Like a regular, like, standard turkey gravy, what the recipe is. But,
stock? This is wrong.
Good start. Good start.
Okay.
I think, also, with the fifth plate thing, or you're having another plate comment, I think the best way to respond to that is, yeah. And you look at them, and I kind of question them, like, what's wrong with them? Because then, first of all, they're coming at you like, you're wrong. And then if you give them that look back, like, no, you're wrong.
Oh.
I think you really throw them for a loop. It's like a curveball. They're like, oh, shoot, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Perhaps. The ingredients for gravy, my source is startcooking.com/how-2-
Is that Rachel Ray official?
Make-gravy. I don't know. But the ingredients are butter, flour, chicken stock, and heavy cream.
There you go.
That sounds really gross to me.
Well, maybe you just don't know good food. Moving on to the next topic. What is the next topic, please?
Let's talk about something that seems harmless, but is not. Those are elbows.
No, in what way do you mean elbows? Like throwing bows? Like you're trying to clear a path, like you're throwing bows? Do you mean like that kind of bows?
Well, no. Throwing bows can be very effective in combat. I'm talking about...
I'm more of a fist-flying kind of guy, if I get to that point, which I never do. But regardless, I want to throw my bows first, but continue.
They're very effective, though. I'm talking about...
Captain Falcon
when you're
know.
Playing
People's elbow.
A game in which you have to throw a ball across the table, right? There's a certain rule, which is that your elbow cannot pass the edge of the table. Now, why is this? It's to keep it fair. You know, you're not getting a shorter shot than anybody else.
There's a rule in basketball. There's like a statistic, which is fairly obvious and like expected. The closer you are to the basket, the higher the probability of one's making it, right?
It also just makes sense. It's easier.
Yeah. Well, that's the point, because it's a higher percentage shot. That's why it's a higher percentage shot. So like people tend to, like big guys, like centers, like don't shoot from very far away. Not because they're not skilled, but because... they're so close to the basket and they're so tall. Their release point is right at the basket. So it's a high percentage shot. So when you come over to this game, I don't know what you're talking about. But
that's why three-pointers are worth more points. They're more difficult to make.
Lower percentage. So when you get closer, you have a higher percentage. So then therefore, if someone is ignoring the regulations of the game, whether it be known or unknown to them, it's technically cheating.
Right.
And then there's a little bit of question
of
sportsmanship. It's a question of sportsmanship.
Absolutely.
At that point. Absolutely. It's like...
if they don't know they're doing it, okay.
Well, that's,
if it's been
well, that's
pointed
why,
out...
well, that's why you call them out.
And
I believe the phrase is as simple as, watch
bows,
your bows.
Right.
Bows or watch your
and
bows.
And now, if you've been called...
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
We have a break-in in the studio.
Yeah, snuck in.
We have... an unexpected visitor present.
I heard you talking about sketchy bows.
Yes, we were talking about
that. Can I weigh in?
Please. Here we have our good friend Ryan to weigh in on sketchy bows.
What was already established?
We're establishing that if you don't realize that your bows are offensive, okay, like it's less offensive. But if you've been called out multiple times and you're doing nothing to fix your bows and you're trying to hush-hush, like quiet it down, it's unacceptable.
Yes, I think that's when you tie somebody's elbow down. You get like you get a bungee cord, you wrap around their bicep right here, and you put it down on the table. And then, yeah, think about it, right?
But wouldn't they just be able to extend beyond?
But then it would be very easy to see.
Oh, that
is
true.
Because as soon as it breaks that plane of vertical, then you call them out and you disqualify them right there.
But you know what really grinds my gears? When
what grinds your gears?
Hold on,
we're getting a phone.
We have a car as well. It looks like a Diane Stroka is calling. Let's connect it up.
Oh. You gotta pick up the phone. Hello?
Hello?
You just hung up on him.
I think I did hung up on him.
No.
Hang up on him.
Anyways, what really grinds my gears is when someone's been caught.
Oh, here we go. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. How are you? Who is this?
Hi, I'm Juan. This is, a concerned Lafayette student.
Yes.
Which is to remain anonymous. I noticed that you have a certain guest on the air, and I'd like to point out that I have occasionally played certain games which involve throwing balls over, you know, a table. And,
sure.
You know, there's very strict elbow regulations that you have to follow when you're
okay.
playing these games, and I know that on several occasions, his bows were,
oh my lord!
Quite noticeably.
Well,
do we have a call out?
I don't know who you are,
I think
the person who entered the studio knows who you is. And I think you guys know each other.
Excuse me, is this my co-host on the radio show? Are you just salty that I beat you yesterday?
You did not beat me.
Okay.
Actually, you did.
I have no idea what he said.
He said you didn't beat him.
If here. The on the off chance that that game was not a victory for myself, I believe that the person who was your partner did considerably higher workload compared to you.
See, your partner did.
Well, see, it's interesting because it is a team sport, so
this is true. This is very true.
I don't know how that applies.
I mean, but there's also very individual efforts. Not every player on the team has the same contribution.
Right. What was your
and
cup count?
Particularly when certain team members are, consistently breaking the rules and not really listening, really kind of grinds my gears, you know? And then they try to get on air and say, oh, we need to tie people's arms down with bungee cords, when they themselves have broken these rules.
See, that's interesting because I don't remember being called out for it, so I don't know how I can recognize my own mistake.
I'm pretty sure that there were multiple cases of this throughout the incident to which I'm referring to.
Okay, all right. Well, next time we'll be more careful.
Wait, what's so? Wait, real quick. I'm sorry. If you want to talk first, but go ahead. But I was gonna say, what is the result of someone calling out your bows? What should be done? Is it a reshoot, or do you lose your shot?
Good point.
I think you should lose your shot.
I think so too.
Some people would penalize. I don't know what game you're referring to, the cups, but I think there shouldn't be a penalty. But I think the throw should be
if the throw was successful, and you had bows on it, and then that the success of that throw should not count.
It's almost like a double dribble in basketball. You don't get the ball up top again, you lose it. It's your team's ball. See ya.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the other team is not shooting free throws.
Exactly.
It's
just a turnover. You don't have the ball anymore.
But you know what Ryan liked more than that? Beating you guys in this tournament that was held.
Wow. He had a pretty good competitor. Her partner is a very strong competitor.
Yes.
Great. You guys can kiss later.
Anyways, I'd like to point out how our special guest handled the situation. He was called out for bows. He apologized, and he said he would refrain and do his best to not have bows anymore. And you know what? That greases my gears, because that's how you should respond.
You know what? It's the little things that keep the system going. And then he fixes it.
If you're called out multiple times and perhaps caught with a photo finish with your bows extended over the table, perhaps you should acknowledge and stop. Again, if you want to call in and discuss, because you know who you are, the number is 610-330-5316.
We have photographic evidence, by the way. This is not just a shot in the dark. We have pictures, multiple shots.
Occasions.
Not even against us, against multiple people. So there is absolutely no discrimination against which opponents they do it against. They cheat against everyone, and they don't acknowledge it, and they refuse to. And therefore, when they win, they have no dignity in saying, we cheated.
Mm-hmm. How do you own that win? When you know it was achieved.
You own nothing. You know what you own? You own dirty karma. That's on your life.
Yeah. Yep.
And a tainted trophy.
And God's always watching.
A tainted trophy.
Yes.
The funny thing is, they still didn't even win a trophy.
They did?
No, they didn't. They didn't win a trophy.
I think they did.
Okay. No, they came from fourth.
Yeah. Just barely.
All right, well, I would like to thank you very much for your time.
A game such as this one is really all about sportsmanship, and that's really all that matters.
Yes, I agree.
Because you're just doing it to have a good time.
Sportsmanship is huge. Yeah.
Good, clean fun with friends.
Hello?
Yes, hi, Brandon.
Hello. Oh, hi. Who is that?
Who's Brandon?
I don't know. I'm sorry. Contributions, but I need to withdraw my call because there may be other callers that would like to call in.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know your name, but thank you, Diane Strolka.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye. Take care. Good night.
Good night.
Rest easy. Okay.
All right. Well, I would just like to thank the hosts of Gear Grinders for not inviting me in here, but putting up with me when I walked in. So I hope that didn't grind your gears at all, but thank you.
Despite how should I say it?
Unexpected
B&E that occurred. Everyone, please tune in to Sunglasses After Classes, 2 to 3 p.m. on Wednesdays. I myself am in my biology lab, so I do not have the privilege of tuning in, but you do. So please. Hanging out on Wednesday night or Wednesday afternoon, mm-hmm. have nothing to do, please tune in to one of the better shows here on WJRH,
please
what it has to offer. Support the local talent and support world's famous in Easton. Please tune in.
Yes.
Won't be upset. Ryan Kreckel and Brandon Strolka, who I think goes by Diane now.
Bye.
So take care. Have a good night, Ryan. Do your homework. Sunday night, Monday. Anyway.
Now we're going to bring to you some ads.
Okay, yes. Jules, pick a number, 1 through 6.
3.
For a second, I didn't think that was between 6. I got really confused. Okay, number 3. Every day in the developing world, children are dying from preventable and treatable illnesses. Save the Children trains local health workers to provide life-saving care. Visit goodgoes.org to learn how you can help. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Serious.
Pick another number.
2.
Every year, almost 9 million children in the developing world die of largely preventable and treatable illnesses, though through basic health care delivered by local health workers, many lives can be saved. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council. Thank you. Quick shout out to our advertisements for keeping us on the air. It's the little people that help us out, and sometimes it's big people. Thank you, them. Do you wish to read another ad?
Please.
I can read it. Anyone in particular? 1 to 3.
1.
Well, that's a large one, so I'll probably read the short one. I'll go for 3. roughly 3,000 Americans will die from food poisoning this year, but you can keep your family safer by separating raw meats and seafood from other foods. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
We're supposed to do 3 minutes of ads.
We'll do some more ads, because apparently we're supposed to do 2 to 3 minutes. Fast. Learn to spot the sudden signs of a stroke. You just need to know fast. F. Face drooping. A. Arm weakness. Or S. Speech difficulty. Then T. Time. Time to call 911 immediately. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council. A lot of these are the same. Let's see if this one's any different. Yes, it is. Oh. If you're thinking about a GED diploma but need a little more motivation to get you on your way, visit the GED Pep Talk Center. Call 1-877-38-YOUR-GED or visit yourged.org for your GED Pep Talk and for free GED classes in your area. GED is a registered trademark of the American Council of Education. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nice. Thank you for those ads.
Up top?
Again, you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM here at Lafayette College, the Lafayette College Radio here at Easton, Pennsylvania. I'm Juliana Paleo, and this is
Joseph Sensi.
And we're hosting Gear Grinders. If you want to tune in online, visit WJRH.org. And if you want to contact us, call in to 610-330-5316.
Yes. What else do we have to talk about?
Well,
what else is grinding our gears? Or was grinding our gears this past week? My gears are spinning quite nicely now, considering the professionalism that was just dedicated and shown by Ryan and his cot of bows.
And his sportsmanship.
Yeah, very much so. And I think that says a lot about character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to apologize is one of the better things you could do.
Admitting your own mistakes.
Oh, I know what grinds my gears.
What's that?
You know what? Because we heard this on the way over here.
Oh, yeah.
Speech. People. When you grow up, when you're a baby, you don't know many words. And as a matter of fact, you probably know no words. So that's why you babble.
Yeah, babies
you
are
make,
really dumb.
You make noises. You scream. You squeal. You cry. You shout. But no words come out. I'm sorry for dropping bars. And I'm not talking candy.
All right.
Anyway.
You just ruined everything.
It's okay. Because there's other people that ruin my day. So if I'm going to ruin people's day and grind their gears, there's people grinding mine. So I like to talk about constant phrases. Some people may call them fillers. Do you know what a filler is?
Word you say to fill the airspace?
Yes, correctly. So when people say, literally... Like?
I think you're confused.
I think the word like is beaten to a pulp.
I think like and those are just noises you make when you're thinking. You're trying to get some words out. Like has become one of those, which isn't good. It doesn't, you know, it's not the best word to use there, but it's among that, it's in that category. The word that grinds your gears is what?
Literally.
Literally. When people say literally, I don't think that's a filler. People don't go, literally, blah. It's used as, in a different way.
No, the word literally is terrible because people start every sentence with, they'll describe something, right? And then they'll break it down with the word literally, starting it off.
Can I have an example?
Do you want an example?
Yeah, I don't really get, I don't think I see what you're saying.
That was so bad. Literally, the worst thing in my life.
Right, but that's not a filler. They're trying to say that it was literally the worst thing. Why is literally?
No, everyone was thinking metaphorically. I don't know. Like, why do you need that word, literally?
I think it's grinding your gears for the wrong reason. Give me the example again. That was so bad.
Literally the worst thing I experienced.
Okay. I don't think it's a problem that... No. The problem with that is that there's no way... That usually what people are talking about is like very not a big deal. Like, I just waited in lower for 20 minutes. It's literally the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone. And it's like,
if waiting in lower for 20 minutes is literally, quote, the worst thing that's happened to anyone, this world is perfect.
That's what I'm saying. That's why that word is a common gear grinder. Because people exaggerate and say literally. And it's like, literally? That is the worst? Literally.
Like you're putting emphasis for no reason.
Right.
You know what also grinds my gears? Not just the word literally, but when people... You know like those smackers? Do you know what a smacker is?
No.
People like,
oh, that's gross.
When they smack their lips like a horse eating peanut butter off the roof of its mouth. It's... That grinds my gears. Because it's like, what? Do you have extra saliva today? Are you drowning? Are you trying to get out of the way? Like, what is going on?
That's also like when people chew with their mouths open. That one gets me good. Especially when they're eating something like popcorn or pretzels, something crunchy. It's absurd. And rude.
You know what I can say?
What?
You know the expression, chew the cud?
Yeah.
Do you know what cud is?
No.
So you don't know the expression?
I've heard it, but I don't know what it means.
Okay, chew the cud. A cow chews the cud.
Okay.
It's grass. Cut is like grass or hay or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why don't you go chew the cud elsewhere, bud? That was really cringe. But the point I'm making is lip smacking, not even lip smacking, just like tongue clapping.
Mm-hmm.
Is it tongue clapping or lip smacking?
I do not know.
It's tongue clapping.
Can you please repeat the sound so I know what you're talking about?
It's like...
Ew, that was gross.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Listen, everybody on the radio, I'm sorry. If you want to tune off and change channels, please. Z100 is a great radio station, too. Mm. I'm not paid for or advertising them whatsoever, but I ruined your day, possibly. So if you want to switch channels, please go ahead.
Or if you happen to have Spotify or even YouTube, look up any Kids Bop tune.
You know what doesn't grind my gears? You know what lubricates my gears?
What?
Spotify Premium Family Plan.
That's nice.
So my sister bought it over the summer.
Good stuff.
I got it for the last 2 weeks of summer, and I still have it now.
Shout out to Kristen.
It's $5, I believe, $5, $10. Somewhere in that range, not bad, for all the free music you want. Save them to your playlist. Play them whenever you want. You don't have to be connected to Wi-Fi or something like that. And there's no ads. Also, play whatever you want. And it's $5 to $10, not for each person, for the whole family. And you just put however many people you want on it. I think it goes up to like seven, wow. six or seven or something like that. So we're all on the family plan in my family. And we get to listen to Spotify whenever we want. And they don't share your accounts. It isn't like everyone's music is mixed. It's all separate.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
If you got a family, look into it.
Or if you have a bunch of friends that are willing to pay the money together, which is probably a terrible idea, because you know not everyone's going to hold their end of the bargain. But
unless you got good friends. Goodness.
Tough to find these days. Anything else that grinds your gears? How about when people say, oh my god, a lot?
I don't think it's that bad.
How about when people use text phrases in speech, like OMG or LOL?
Listen.
I don't think there's any.
I think there was just a bit of an epidemic recently.
A plague. A verbal plague.
Started saying LOL and stuff out loud, kind of as a, ironically, like sarcastically. Like, I don't know. Like, not seriously, just being, just, you know.
For a goof and a gaff.
Goof and a gaff. But then started doing it so many times that they actually would say it out loud and then, like, be spooked by themselves. So I don't think it's as offensive if the person realizes their mistake immediately.
I just think it's really irritating to hear. I should see OMG. I shouldn't hear OMG.
Oh, you meant saying actual OMG, not being like, oh my god?
Yeah. Like, it's okay. If you can say, oh my god, I get it. Like, it's emphasis. That's fine. But when you say OMG, it's like...
It doesn't grind my gears,
but it's like, do you want a haymaker right now?
I wouldn't say it grinds my gears, but it gives me a bad taste in my mouth. It's like sour warheads.
In my mouth.
In my mouth.
As Ethan would say, Papa Ethan.
Papa Ethan.
Papa Ethan, young Papa. Papa bless.
Papa bless,
everyone. Papa bless those who don't say LOL and OMG out loud.
That's correct.
Which is worse, OMG or LOL? Which is worse?
I think LOL.
I think so, too.
Because then you're not even laughing.
I think OMG is like when you're in fifth grade, you just got a cell phone, and like your cell phone's your entire life, so you start talking like you're texting. And then by the time you reach like seventh grade, you shouldn't say OMG anymore. Right. But people still say LOL.
No, also with OMG, there's so many variations of oh my god, oh my goodness gracious, OMG. You know, it's kind of an open book.
Is oh my goodness gracious OMGG?
Yes.
Hmm.
It's more of an open to interpretation kind of thing. LOL, it was originated with texting and everything. It's just absurd if you say that out loud. Check yourself because you already wrecked yourself.
Well, you're supposed to chickity check yourself before you riggity wreck yourself.
Right, but if you have said it, you're already wrecked.
Yeah, so can you check yourself by then? Also, if you're about to check yourself afterwards, do you even like have the ability to check yourself correctly?
I don't know.
Does someone else have to check you out?
I don't have the answers. Because I've never wrecked myself.
My gears are ground.
Well, my gears are ground from these questions for which I don't have answers.
You should have studied. Speaking of studying, I have a biology test tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
It's on four chapters. So anyway, the teacher was out for 2 days, right? We have a planned schedule. He handed out a syllabus day one. He said, so it's like, on this day, like October 10th, pages 157 of 1 to 165 of the textbook. There is like the material we're gonna cover in class, right?
Sure.
And also says like when the exams are. Right. It's like exams are like this day, this day, this day, and then three quizzes this day, this day, this day, right? Fair enough, it's all formatted, structured out, so it's really neat and you can see where you're at. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he misses 2 days unexpectedly. He had a conference in Canada he had to go to. Yet
it seems planned.
The test No.
Something you would have planned in advance.
I guess so, but he didn't tell us until that week, that Monday. And then we canceled class Wednesday, Friday. And then we had class last week, Monday through Friday. But then our test is still this Monday on the normal test material would have been covering. So I don't know if he went through the entirety of the last two chapters.
He's going to include them?
No, that he's going to. It's chapters 8, 9, 10, and 12. I checked at chapter 11. Chapter 11 was not even going to be on the syllabus originally.
What about 10?
Like, 10, yeah. 8, 9, 10, and 12, yep.
Oh.
All of them were. But chapters 12, most of 12, like the ending half of 12, wasn't covered, but yet the whole entire test is on 12. Now, luckily, 12 is what mitosis and meiosis, considering it's a biology class, so we have the material for it studying in class, but I don't get how that's supposed to be helpful to us from the test us on that. Because his testing style is very discreet.
How so?
Let's say I have a multiple choice question. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we have these quickers. There's five answers possible, A through E, correct? Mm-hmm. So the way he does it is, there's always one answer that's completely wrong. Like, you know it off the bat, you're like, yeah, that's wrong. But this guy loves his, like, to really test your memorization. So first take a discrete topic, like, component of what you studied. Mm-hmm. Such as, like, the electron transport chain or something like that. But then he'll dive deeper into it and, like, what the proteins are made out of. And then he'll have three questions, like, three of the answers, possible answers, be, like, almost exactly the same. What are you testing me at that point? What are you testing me on?
Know all the details.
If I knew the exact word that they used.
Yeah.
Why?
Because then you really knew it.
Or did I just memorize it? Am I a savant?
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between knowing the material and knowing the textbook word for word and just studying your heart out for the purpose of not knowing it, memorizing it.
I suppose.
Especially if most of the answers are, like, exactly the same.
I mean...
They all say the same thing, just one word difference.
This is reminding me of if you're taking, like, a math exam that's multiple choice, so, like, way back when, that was, like, algebra or something, and you had answers that were, like, 23, 24, 25, 1,000. Those are very close, but only one's correct.
Okay.
Does that relate?
Yes and no. In the sense that math, there is a definite answer you can come to. Mm-hmm. You can find the answer.
Okay.
Like, you work out an answer in math. You know, it's not like, what was the answer to page 15, question 4, and then it's like 23, 24, 25. That would be like, what the heck? I don't remember the exact number it gave.
Okay, I see what you're
versus
saying.
You can work it out and find the answer. You can't work out and find the answer to a biology question.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just testing memorization.
That's tough stuff, my dude.
And that grinds my gears, because that's not right. I think that's a bad way to test kids to see if they actually know it. Mm. Especially in a general biology class that's supposed to be, like, the foundation for kids, like, wanting to do that major. I think it scares away a lot of kids, because they're like, this sucks.
I agree, but that's kind of what biology is, no? You just kind of have to memorize everything in the body and how everything works.
Well, that's why I'm not taking that major.
It's just a different discipline.
Shout out to our bio majors. We have a few of them in our friend group that are bio majors.
Young Maddie Winslow.
I would say that
then we'll follow them. Are we not naming them?
No, I wouldn't name them exactly.
Never mind.
We can. We'll do a quick shout out. Nick Grams, Josiah Miller. Maddie Winslow. Work day in and day out. Zach Solomon too. I know he's part of the bio major. I don't want to forget him out. Yeah, he is. But I don't want to forget him out. But anyway, at least the first three I know for sure because they're actually within our dorm. They work their hearts out. They give it their all.
They do.
They study nonstop. They really do. Push through the clock. Nick is my roommate, and he just, I can't even fathom what it's like to put that much work in.
Me neither.
I'm a hard working student, but there's something called giving an extra that he does with no hesitation, and I commend him for that. Because a lot of these bio students, I think all three of them are planning on going into med school,
right.
And you need the grades to back it up.
Like, you know when you go into a class and a professor on the first day is talking about their grades, and they're like, I guess most people will do... Yeah, B's, whatever. A's are pretty good, but an A+ is only for those students who go above and beyond. And you're sitting there like, what are you talking about, lady? If I do my work and I get good grades, blah, 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 these are the kids who go above and beyond.
Yeah.
And that grinds my gears, by the way.
And it's not even like they struggle to get there. Oh, I'm bleeding my nose.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. It's not even like they're struggling to get there. They just work there. And it's not like they're like, stressing out, like, in pain, like, they're like, oh, man,
this sucks. No, that's where they live.
It's like, yeah, it's almost like they do it without question. It's like walking the park for them. It's just another day.
Another day of work.
Another day of work. It's not the grind. It's not really the grind of them. It's just like, yeah, I do my work. Yeah, I do it on time. What's wrong with that? Regardless, though, what else grinds your gears? Anything in particular? How do you think this acapella... So we had the evening of acapella the other night.
Last night.
How do you think that went? Not your group specifically, but how would you say your this school matches up to like the national scale? Can we not sing?
I think it's hard to say because not all of the groups here get the same budget for unknown reasons. For example, some groups pay...
Isn't it mostly donations, though?
No. It's like the budget for any kind of club. Some groups pay for one arrangement, one like set of music. They will
like the rights to sing that.
Not just the rights, an arrangement of a song. So like the notes, like the sheet music.
Yeah.
Which is hard when you hear an a cappella group to come up with on your own for anyone. They will pay more money for one arrangement than other groups are allowed or given at all.
Then they're allowed to. What do you mean? Like you guys, let's say Group A has like $500. Group B, for some reason, has more money given to them by student government. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is it student government that's giving the funding?
I guess so.
They're like sort of picking and choosing where the money goes, and they're saying, okay. Meanwhile, Group B gets like $1,000. Let's
say Group A gets $1,000, and Group B gets like $75.
That big of a jump.
Yeah.
Really?
So Group A is paying maybe $100, about $100 per arrangement. Group B is paying like $5 per arrangement. Now, I don't think those arrangements are going to be on the same scale.
Okay.
This is true.
Is that why?
What?
Like, is that why can you like tell which groups have more money and which ones don't? But if I were like a normal person in the audience, so I know which groups are there. But if like I saw two random groups come up on stage, would I be able to tell which one got more funding by how they're singing?
I mean, I don't think you'd think about it.
No, but let's say I was aware of the funding, but I wasn't sure which one got more. Could I pick it out, you think?
Yes.
Do you know which group on campus gets the most funding?
Let's not go there.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. That's fair. But anyway, so like I was thinking to myself, whenever someone does a solo, mm-hmm. like when I'm able to pick out their voice, the first question that comes to my mind is, what would Simon Cowell say about their voice? Mm-hmm. So, do you think anyone on any of the acapella groups would get the okay in American Idol?
Like, do I think they would go to Vegas?
Or it's like they get past the first round?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really? No kidding.
Yeah, there are many talented people on this campus. Very talented.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Like, would it be a lot or would it be like very few of them? Because I think the thing about acapella is it's easier to harmonize than it is to sing a solo, obviously.
Okay, well, yeah, obviously.
I know. So, like, people's voices sound good together, but alone they might not.
Sure.
So, like, the reason why I asked the question, would someone make it, is because there's rarely ever a solo when no one else is singing. Like, just, like, them alone.
Yeah, because that wouldn't sound as good.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So like,
What is your question?
Because it's tough for me to tell in the audience if some of those people would have the skill to sing alone on American Idol or something like that.
Why are you judging it? Why do you think you're Simon Cowell?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's why I'm asking you.
What is the question?
Like, do you think people in acapella groups have the talent to go make it alone?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
I don't know if they could all get past Simon Cowell, just because he is quite... an aggressive and...
He's pretty tough to impress.
...rude person. Mm-hmm. But I think everyone would do fairly well, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Of course. Much talent.
Much talent, very well.
Yes.
Nice. Okay. I'm trying to think what grinds my gears. You know what I don't like doing? Wearing jeans. I think they're comfy when you put them on, but I hate sitting down in jeans. The worst is when you're sweating in jeans.
Yes.
Like especially nowadays, it's cold, right? Mm-hmm. So with temperature outside, it's cold, obviously, yeah. And then indoors, you get in the building, and they're cranking the heat. It's like, hey, let's turn the heat on.
That really grinds my gears, because...
You're sweating.
You're never comfortable throughout the entire day. You can't get comfortable, because you got to bundle, because it's so freezing outside, and then you get inside, and you're sweating. And, you know, that's how you get a cold. That's how you get sick, is by, like, quick and drastic changes in temperature. So they're just making us all sick.
I hate that. I hate just like if I like walk to a copium, which is pretty far from our dorm, Keith. Mm-hmm. if I walk there, like on a power walk there, put a little hustle, a little pep in my step, and I get there a little quick, but I like move a little bit.
Then you're sweating too.
I'm sweating. And then I sit down in class, I'm like, ugh, and they don't open the windows.
Yeah.
Of course they wouldn't, because it's expensive to let all the heat out. But it's like cooking.
And it's weird and not very comfortable to wear like a tank top or a t-shirt in the wintertime.
Yeah, you're in the wintertime, so you're going to bundle up. You're going to wear like a nice long sleeve.
You're going to wear your clothes.
Your bottom layer is probably going to be a long sleeve.
Right, you're going to wear your nice sweaters and your nice long sleeve shirts you've been saving all summer.
I'm not wearing shorts. I always thought about, one thing I always thought of doing.
What?
Is, so like, you don't need all your books going out today. So you have like space in your backpack.
Mm.
Maybe like packing a pair of shorts, getting to the building I go to the bathroom, switch pants.
Okay.
Sit down in class.
But are you going to do that for a 50-minute class?
50-minute class, you mean?
A 50-minute.
Yeah, I thought you said 15. Yeah, if I'm sweating.
Okay.
If that's what it takes, because they're obviously not going to change temperature.
How about this? You have a class in party.
Yeah, fair enough.
From 10 to 10:50.
Yeah.
You go there, you change into your shorts. Now, at 11, you got a class in Copian.
Ah, I see what you mean.
What do you do?
Well, I think that's why you have the shorts. You switch back, have to hurry a bit to get to a Copian in time, and you're sweating. You're sweating now, and then you just change to the shorts again.
Okay, but
I see what you're saying though. It's like you're cutting it close.
There's no time.
Not always, yeah. I agree.
What if you get out a little late from your 10 o'clock class?
Well, then
you get out at 10:52.
That's what I'm saying. Now you're in a predicament.
Exactly. Now you're in a pickle.
And that ain't a tasty pickle. Nor does it smell good.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they gotta change the temperature thing. Also, why can't I control the temperature in my room?
Yeah.
It's either window closed or open, and then hot, straight heat, like really hot in the winter, or moderately cold AC during the warmer months.
Right. So I think it's around October they go from...
There's no thermostat, right?
Yeah, October. They go from cold to heat.
Is there a date of that? Or is it like when the temperature hits a certain point, like it switches the system?
It's October. It's just someday in October.
Yeah.
Because it was pretty warm.
Yeah, when the heater started coming on, yeah.
But it was too late.
Yeah. Is it going to be cold from now on? Is it over?
I have no idea.
Okay. I think it is. I know this was a cold front, whatever it's supposed to be, that like makes it really cold around here.
It has been really cold the last couple days, and it like grinds my gears as well.
I'm no optometrist, but the weather seems... I'm kidding. I know. What is it? It's not optometrist. I know.
Meteorologist?
Meteorologist. I was going to say geologist, and I was like, wait, that's wrong,
goodness
too.
Gracious, goodness me.
Stop grinding my own gears, if I even have any that are working at this point, because that's pretty terrible. But regardless, I'm pretty sure this is a cold front coming through. That's why it's so cold now. It was, what, high of 28 yesterday or something like that? It was chilly, Willy.
But it was very cold.
Yeah. So I didn't like that very much. But,
And you know what else? This weather's just a bummer. It makes you want to run inside and stay inside. And then it makes you sick and tired.
And then you're all cooped up.
And then it's dark. It grinds my gears that it gets dark so early.
I hate that it gets dark early. Ugh. It's like the summer because it's like light out and it's like 7 o'clock at night.
Exactly.
But it's like a nice dusk, but it's not like dark.
Yeah.
I like that.
You enjoy the light. I don't like... It's like if you're doing homework at your desk and someone just turns off the light in your room. It's like, excuse me, I'm doing work in here.
And like, sorry, clock's going back an hour. Clock's going ahead an hour.
Yeah.
Something's not right with that. I don't enjoy that very much.
I don't like it. It grinds my gears.
It's 7:56. Do you wish to close out the show?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're looking a little sleepy here in the studio. I think it's bedtime.
It's very warm in here.
Oh, you're sweating?
Yeah.
Why don't you take your jacket off?
I'm very cozy.
Well, that grinds my gears because I don't know how to help you. Well, thank you everybody for listening. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM at Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. Our name of our show is Gear Grinders. Thank you very much for tuning in. Once again, I am Joseph Sensi, and I'm here with
Juliana Paleo.
And you can visit our website and tune into us as well as other shows at WJRH.org, or you can call in on the telephone, the old landline, 610-330-5316. Call in to us or any other show if you wish to do so. We all share the same number because we all share the same studio. Jules, any last words for the night? Any mottos to go forth? Any poetry?
Do your homework.
That's it? Okay.
Go to bed early, because it's already dark, so you might as well.
Yeah, you might as well sleep now, because it's going to be brighter early in the morning. Is it bright now early in the morning, too?
I don't know.
Or is it just dark earlier?
No.
It's just, yeah.
There's just less light. Can you imagine living, I don't know where...
Is it Greenland?
I don't know, but they get Norway. Like a couple hours of sunlight.
Is it Norway? It's like 4 hours of sunlight or something like that?
Yeah.
I forget what it is. It's like really north.
I think I'd be so depressed.
I think I'd be so cold.
Well, yeah, that too.
I think I'd be cold and depressed. Goodness me. Anyway, sorry for bringing it down. But anyway, hopefully the next show brings it back up. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a good night. Do your homework, as Jewel said. Mm-hmm. And go to bed early. Get some rest. Shut eye is key. I will not be getting shut eye, and I have a test tomorrow because I'll be studying.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck to me. Thank you. And
to all of you as well.
Good luck to the rest of you as well.
All right.
Thank you very much, and good night, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and Happy Holidays.
Love you.
You got about a month, but get ready.
Love you.